Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvitti and my lovely co-host, Veronica M. Wessel. Hi, Ronnie.
Hi, Jackie. How's everything in this crazy time?
Well,
zany, right?
It's zany. That's a good description. I love that one. Zany will do. Yes, I wrote an entire show and hit the wrong button and it all disappeared. So I'm winging it tonight. And, you know, I've just decided it's all fine. I don't care. Well, I did at the moment, but I realized getting upset about it wasn't going to help anything.
Winging's good. Winging's good. You're good.
Right. Well, I'm kind of laughing because of the title of tonight's show. You know, the whole essence of bringing hope for generations to come is to be responsible for our reactions to everything. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, it's a good place to start, right?
Right. Well, you know, whatever. So tonight's show, Bringing Hope for Generations to Come, I'm just going to read what went out. The work that you're all doing now is a map for all generations to come. Please do not underestimate the influence that you're having for the future of humanity. You are the bringers of light. This is a Barbara Marciniak book. And the map makers for the future. As each of you makes choices for how you're creating and dealing with your personal reality, you're making a map that will be the road which others can follow. You are the heroes of planet Earth. Remember that as you make your choices, change your beliefs, and set your intentions. And... and tonight, Janet, during a session, brought this up, and she said, you know, it would be wonderful if you would set an intention for every show and that everybody could join together, that, you know, the collective consciousness joined together in a single intention, far more powerful. And I said, great, we'll use your intentions. There's some others that, you know, are so beautiful that this is a thrill for me to do. So tonight's intention from Janet Finley is, I intend to embrace my power to create the changes necessary in this world for peace, prosperity, beauty, love, joy, and happiness using my magic. I love
Wonderful.
That.
Wonderful.
Uh-huh. I agree. I absolutely agree.
All fine.
Huh? Yeah, really. So, Veronica, tell me about your experiences this week, because I really... my head has been spinning around.
Well, I think my experiences have been rather strange, and some of them have been very internal, where I feel at times like I'm being almost bursting with some kind of high-frequency energy, and it makes me a little bit edgy and grumpy. And But then really calm. I feel like I get these... It's funny. It's all about me with what's going on with the universe as far as I can figure out. I don't think anything specific is going on that's negative in my life. A lot of my clients
talking about negative things, but go ahead.
A lot of my clients are struggling with life and death and that sort of thing.
That's exactly where I was going. Yes, this has been a time, last 2 weeks, of lots of life and death.
Yeah.
And my phone has been ringing. It starts at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, my God.
Even on the weekend, which I'm like... And, you know, I keep my phones upstairs because of my kids in case anything were to happen. And I'm like, you know, you guys may be on your own from here on out because... So since I deleted the show, obviously there was a reason for that. What I've noticed is that 1 or 2 weeks feels like a year. It's difficult to really go back and recapture things that are happening because it's so now moment right now.
Well, I think I want to say just to that it's like a year, but in another way, it's like almost another life or something. It's just, it just disappeared. It's gone.
Exactly. Quickly.
Mm-hmm.
No time for mourning. It's just moving on. My niece crossed over and showed up immediately, she had a drug problem, showed up immediately in a session I did with somebody. I may have talked about this last week, but unfortunately I remember nothing. Showed up in a session on someone I was working on with who had a drug issue. And, I mean, I was shocked that there was such a quick involvement. And she was so determined that other people, especially star beings, didn't go through what she went through. And, it was one of those things where the kid called, well, the mother called, and the kid was sick for 4 days before he ever had a session. And the team, I would say, you know, if you got a drug problem, you may want to think twice before you call here. God. Lots of, I do a lot of work with people who've been in accidents and children in hospitals and so on, people that have never been treated, but I'm always, you know, happy to accommodate these emergencies. And I've just seen such miracles with them. I'm absolutely in awe. And so I'm with you. Things are just happening so doggone fast. People are leaving the planet at an amazing rate. And yet, it feels all beautiful. It doesn't feel catastrophic, terrible, sad. I mean, for a moment, you have a sadness, of course. But there is something almost celebratory about it. Yes. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, and it was last year for me, one of my clients' son overdosed. And strange, he had a call for a session. And we were talking, and he came right through, and he said, "Mom, I've got a job, a good job." And she was so grief-struck, she started to laugh. She couldn't help herself. But anyway, he was doing what your niece is doing, which was working with a lot of young people into drugs. And he even taught his sister how to get off of Oxycontin by using her brain.
Beautiful.
From the other side, and it was all so fast. It was like, oh, yeah, there is a lot of action going on.
Nothing surprises me right now. I think the veils are so thin, and what's so beautiful. My son and I had this discussion today, and I made a comment about burying my daughter's been in the hospital and about burying my daughter, and he said, "Well, if you don't want to bury your daughter, you better plan on, you know, dying real quick." And I said, "Well, no." I said, no, I'm not going to go there." But it was, and he said, "Mom, we're on the planet for such a short time. Don't get caught up in it." It was actually very, very funny. It cracked me. It set me right out of the seriousness of the moment into kind of a shocking awakening, and I went, "Okay, got it." and today, everything, or this evening, everything turned around. So, also, I've noticed hugely that the masks are coming down. Many people who've been struggling for a very long time, you know, to find themselves, to love themselves, to heal themselves. It's like this amazing epiphany that to me is almost orgasmic in its impact of people being able to awaken to the more of who they are, or integrating. The shadow show impacted a lot of people, and I've had a lot of feedback on that one, and it was very healing for a lot of people. And I was talking with somebody today, and they were saying, "Well, you know, I had this reptilian in my second chakra." Yeah. And then the other question was about in the heart chakra, they felt that there was a praying mantis. And I said, you know, it just came flying in, which, you know, I know that's the same. Seven chakras. Seven races. We carry, you know, the genetics of seven different races. We got seven chakras. You could just about expect to find one of those races in every chakra. So I thought it was, who was kind of one of those aha moments when you were like, oh, got it. And of course, the reptilian in the second chakra, which is driven, you know, is a little more primitive, even though it's sensuality, sexuality, and creativity. This person was not the first person. Years ago, I had a dear friend who went in and worked inside his chakras and discovered a reptilian in his second chakra as well, which I thought was really interesting. But again, we carry the genetics, you know, to deny this, you know, again, we're back to the whole shadow concept of projecting outside of ourselves. You know, I've had some situations with people who were talking about all the negative ETs and all the darkness, and I'm like, oh, okay. All right. I've come to the conclusion you're not going to change anybody's mind if that's what they believe and they've aligned themselves with people to believe it. That's mm-hmm. where they're going to be. And so I found that very, very interesting. Also, an incredible time to reclaim power from so many situations. And as, you know, this whole concept and the team came in very, very strong about the map that we are making and that it would be for generations and generations we will be remembered for all that we're doing now. And, you know, that sense of responsibility, not from the negative ego so much, is just it was kind of a real, you know, somebody grabbing you by the collar and kind of choking you up and saying, are you paying attention? You know, like your old school teacher, are you paying attention? And I was like, ooh. So no wandering thoughts. Okay. Also, my personal experience with people is, especially after their sessions, where they're having these extraordinary dreams and meditations and being shown their roles on the planet, some of them very stealth, interestingly enough. And not people that could make this stuff up because it wasn't something they were exposed to. It was just fascinating to hear the different things that they're being shown to do and how to do, the different beings that were involved in what they're doing, how it all fits together, and how much it's assisting and helping other people. It's just so incredibly beautiful. And in one experience, she was told that you have every right to know who you are. And I loved that. And I think that that's something, you know, I think a lot of people walk around wondering, who am I really? Who am I? I hear this all the time. Do you hear it?
Oh, yeah. I hear it in my own head.
Okay.
yeah, all the time. Yeah.
Well, that's when I don't ask. How funny is that?
I think it asks through me, but I do think that most of the people that I talk to have that question at least some of the time.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And what I'm seeing is that that door is opening to people now, that we have reached a point in our journey where we can handle it, integrate it, honor it, not give it to our negative ego, but really embrace it as part of what we came to do.
There's a very inspiring, do you ever watch TED.com where he does these amazing 18-minute things with people? People do 18 minutes, but that's when Jill Bolte Taylor and people like that have been on. You know, she's the one who had the brain.
I really and truly, you know, the audience I'm sure knows all of this. I know none of this.
Well, there's an interesting one. It's TED.com, and they'll have 18-minute presentations by people.
Are we talking to MIT?
No, it's just an organization. I don't know where it's from.
Okay, a lot of times they do things at MIT. I know who it is now. Okay.
Okay. So
I actually have clients that have been on TED.com. It took me a moment.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, there's a recent one. It's a woman. I think it's called I Am Not My Body or something like that. Her name is Janine, I don't remember her second name, but it's really, really powerful about somebody who has a near-death experience and how her body is absolutely ruined and how she turns it all around. It's very, very touching, but really inspiring. Exactly what you're talking about.
Beautiful.
I'm not that, but I'm this, you know? Very good.
I think the other thing I've become aware of, along with the understanding, and, you know, they've been so adamant about this, in terms of our words, our thoughts, our emotions, our beliefs, all of it, and, you know, as they've talked to me about this map that we're making for generations to come, errant thoughts, errant beliefs, et cetera, anger, resentment, lack of forgiveness are side roads on the map, which is something we really don't want to create. I mean, all of a sudden, the level of responsibility is back in our laps for where we're going and what we're creating for the future for many others. And looking at that, I'm like, whoa. So, that's not to say I have, please do not misunderstand anyone. I would never tell you I'm perfect. I am a human. And I had a lesson this week where I got very caught up in something that was emotionally charged for me because it was around my daughter. This has been a long, ongoing situation her entire life. I got caught up in it. And when it came to a head, I mean, she was in ICU on life support for days. And, you know, so I was hooked. And especially since the team would not let me go there. I should have known. Okay. I missed the cue. And immediately I went to the drama place, which was, I can't override higher self and soul. I have to stand back. And what the team was really trying to show me is to not go there and let it unfold and allow her to walk through this because it was part of her soul journey. And it all came to a head tonight, and I was like, wow. Okay, I get it. I absolutely get it. And I thought she wasn't being given pain medication. She was calling people at 3 in the morning, you know, writhing in pain and so on. And I am just out of my mind over all of this. And, you know, I'm ready to string the doctor up. And as it turned out, the doctor showed up when I was speaking to her tonight on the phone. And I was handed the phone because I've been trying to reach him. And he was like, look, she has this and this. She has the option for this and this. She has chosen not to take that. And I'm like, what? Excuse me? You mean she had all of this and options to take these other things if the pain was too bad? She wasn't taking it, and we were all running there at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. Okay. So, and this is not to say that she's not ill. She is. She had an optional surgery. It was an elective surgery on her stomach where they cut all the stomach out and just leave the sleeve and nothing more. And
is that for losing weight?
Yes. And she's just had surgery number 2, and she may have to have surgery number 3. I mean, boom, boom, boom. So, developed a lot of infection and so on. So, but I mean, you know, we were all just, anyway, a lot of attention and a lot of, which, you know, I understand when people are sick, they need attention. I have no problem with that. But it's just kind of this interesting cycle I've gone through with her many times in our lives. I'm not upset. I'm very clear why the team held me back, and it's just so interesting to me.
What do you think she's looking for?
Power.
Mm.
It's an interesting way to get it, but so many times we've been told things about her, her life, potential tragedy, potential wins, and all of it has been so exaggerated, and I always get sucked in. I am like the proverbial because it's my baby, you know? So, and as my son always says, you hold my feet to the fire, why not hers? And I, you know, I have no answer to that because he knows I'll kill him. Anyway,
I know somebody like that where I always say, are you okay? And I go, I've been doing that for 25 years.
There we go. There we go.
It's just something you get caught in, like your finger in the spoke or something.
Yeah, you do. And but what I got is the way it all lined up, it actually is perfect. And I just have to allow it to unfold the way that she needs it to with her boyfriend and the doctor. And, you know, it just was like somebody kind of throwing ice water on me going, oh, my God, you did it again. It's okay. That's okay. But again, you know, forgiving, first of all, myself and forgiving her and realizing that it's just this interesting dynamic that's played out so many times. And understanding that I can also see it as this beautiful kind of completion of that cycle, because I can look at it now and go, nah, that's the last time I get caught up in the drama. So it's, again, I'm not making her bad or wrong. I just felt it was a wonderful opportunity for me to be able to look at it, release it, and move on with my life, because I'm trying to make a move out of here. And I would have been very torn feeling that I was leaving her with some additional health challenges. And I realize now that they're going to be fine. So, anger, briefly, here we go. Anger, resentment, lack of forgiveness, self-pity are all detours on the map. This is big stuff. And it's so easy to slip into those. Dear God. The other thing I've seen, and man, I want to say this. There are people on the planet that have played the role of the dark, played the role of the villain. Some obvious, some not. Don't be surprised when some of those step forward, okay, to make amazing changes. You know, we've talked many times about dreaming the dreamers awake, and I got to tell you, I am seeing it right now. And literally, literally seeing it on such a, you know, a large scale that can be of assistance to the planet, that I'm globally, financially, that I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? Heard whispers, this and that, but actually all the meetings are in place. So this is where big political stuff. This is where I see that, again, if we think about the United States as Atlantis, those players that may have abused the power or may have not shown up and been able to hold the energy so that Atlantis didn't get destroyed, it's like all of a sudden they're coming up. There's more than one, and I'm in such awe, I can't even speak. You know, we all expect the light workers to do it. I think it's a shock when it's the opposite. It's like people are taking off their masks. And so it's like we're coming to the end of this game, and that's how it feels to me. Hmm. The end of the game. The end of a lot of roles that we played on the planet for each other, in some cases for many, And, you know, I find it absolutely amazing, and I understand more and more why we are so honored as the heroes we are. Veronica, did you, I know, Squirrel sent a question. I don't know if you got it.
I've got it sitting right here.
Okay, good. Okay, and so if you would break it down, because I know it's big, read it all the way through and then break it down for the team. And because it's, but if you read it all the way through, it'll help. Also, I don't know if you have last week's question.
I can find them. Sure, it doesn't take very long.
Mm-hmm. I should have printed that one out, but let's address this one, and then we'll see how far this goes with the team.
Do you want all of last week's questions?
No, just that one from Squirrel, because I know that was a... don't have any idea what it said, but I know it was there.
Okay.
Got it?
Pardon?
You got it?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Well, no, I haven't got it. Bob's talking to me as well. My goodness, I'm busy here. Okay. I can find it really easily. Are we ready? Do you want me to do that right now, or shall we ask the question?
Well, I'm going to go into channel. I'm assuming that the team will talk to some degree, and then we can go from there.
Okay.
All right. All right. All right, everyone, welcome. Wonderful subject. We're very happy that this is the subject for this week. Many of you are hearing this call to embrace, understand more and more of who you are. More importantly, understanding that what you are doing, you know, it's been bandied about, oh, you know, you're all important and you're heroes and you've come to do all this and that, and you go through their daily lives thinking, I'm going to the grocery store. How important can that be? You know, I'm cleaning the toilets. You know, where is my great work? What am I doing? Oftentimes we've said you're doing a lot of work in the dream time. More than ever before, many of you are having experiences here and there that are extraordinary. Eye-opening, shocking for some of you. Some of them to shock you awake. Some of them to, if you could be quiet enough. We know that having time for meditation is not always easy for all of you, although we highly recommend it. Many of you beginning to bring more from the dream time. We highly recommend to all of you that you keep a dream log, because these dreams are going to be incredibly prophetic. Write down what you do remember as soon as you awaken, if you can, because they're carrying very big messages to all of you. You may not always be able to put the pieces together, but in time, it will all begin to make sense. If you think of it as one of those 1,000-piece puzzles, all right, you get a piece here and a piece there and a piece here, and you're not really certain where it all fits, then one day you'll get the picture
able to take those puzzle pieces and fit them all together. Many of you right now are feeling this extraordinary calling for change. Some of you moving from one location to another. Some of you changing the way that you do business or feeling compelled to change the way that you do business. Some of you wanting to step out and do more, become more. Some of you having trepidation about doing it. And then once you begin to take the steps, stepping into this sense of fear, trepidation, and excitement, we love Bonnie's. One of Bonnie's intentions is to make fame an ally. Because many of you still have difficulty with fame. And we can tell you that each one of you, whether your fame is in the public eye or in the cosmos or both, as one of our dear people was told, that her work would be stealth. All right. It wouldn't be announced, but that it would activate and trigger things that would be felt by many humans as well as the earth. And she's already seeing it now. Very beautiful. She's not the only one. There are others. And we were to say to you, follow what you're feeling now. Trust it, because you are being moved around, being shifted around, being brought into greater alignment with greater purpose. And that's important. Whether it makes sense to anyone else or not doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But the calling can be great. So strong that you have no choice. Or at least you feel you don't. You do have one, but you hear it. You hear it. For as many times as we've talked to you about all those that stepped aside for you to come forward, and the great support, love, and belief that was held for you to have the impact that we know you will have is now beginning to really show up. You're getting some of you glimpses and glimmers. For some of you, big aha moments. No wonder. Oh my, that's why I had to do this, or that's why I was called here, or that's why I, on and on. Some of you stepping out into the abyss, I can't explain it, it's just something I have to do. And for all of you practicing on being in the now moment, and we encourage you to do that. More than ever before. And you're going to find this is more important than any of you realize in terms of your creations. This now moment, the next now moment, the next now moment. You will find, if you can do that, that things will fall into place magically, beautifully, far more elegantly than you could have imagined if you try to push it, force it, if you listen and allow and trust. You see, we all believe in you. We believe in the map that you're making more than you can ever imagine. We're careful sometimes in terms of what we tell you. And the reason we're careful is that at times it can feel overwhelming. And for some of you, you say, oh, sure, that's true for everybody but me. That's true for everyone but me. Oh, I'm not the same as them. The team knows it. No. Each and every person that listens to these shows, whether they do it live or in the archives, feel something happening. Something shifting, something moving. For some of you, much faster than the others. It's not a race. It's not a race. Each one of you are honored absolutely in your way for your contribution to the map that you are making for the future of not only planet Earth, not only planet Earth, because what happens on Earth has a much greater impact than any of you know. Some of you are coming to us with your dreams so that we can interpret them as we love to do. Some of you are amazed at how much more they really are. Do not underestimate yourself, people. But do pay attention to the way that you deal with every experience, because you are the map maker. And the idea that what you do here lives on for generations, for some of you may feel rather heavy. For others, it may feel wonderful. Wow, what I do here will have that kind of an impact. And the answer is yes. You know, we've said over and over again that what you're doing on Earth has never been done this way before, and it hasn't. We know there are some of you that have thought, well, this is really messed up. You know, if it's never been done before, what the hell were we thinking? But you're going to see. You are going to see. You are going to experience. You are going to witness incredible changes. Now, you could buy into the fear and the controversy and the polarities if you choose. There may be a caution sign on your map. Watch for chuck holes. And we're kidding with you here, but we want you to understand that it's easy to be seduced into all of that. To play with the light and the dark. And the more neutral you become, the more you move into compassionate detachment. Into a state of love. Seeking enlightenment. Which requires lightening up. Many of you get so serious about all that goes on. We have seen so many people that are unbelievably courageous, facing obstacles that for some, they would just throw their hands up in the air and say, that's it. But they've reached down, they've found their courage. They've held their resonance. Stayed in the joy. Never stopped growing through the entire process. And we've watched them. Even going through chemotherapy, not having the reactions that others have because of the way that they hold their resonance through it. Some facing incredible odds and still walking through with hope, deathly ill. Not that we don't want to help everyone. Some things we can do, some things we cannot. Cancer, life contracts. Yes, there have been situations where the higher self and soul said, yes, go ahead. And in some cases, the contract of cancer is so, well, integrated between the person and other people around them. The outcome, yet to be written. I promise you that. You are heroes. For all the challenges that you faced, for all the obstacles, for the heartbreak, many of you, and yet you went forward courageously. And you continue to do so. Continue to inspire others. And many of you are realizing that more and more people are coming to you, not necessarily because you have a business, but gravitating towards you. We have one person we talked with today, and her whole family who lives on the other side of the country, all moving around her. And she will be the one that will help them through some very extraordinary times, inspire them, enlighten them. You're going to see more and more of this. There'll be some of your family members that will be hungry to talk to you, to listen to you. Some, not so much. Some, still caught in their drama. And that's okay, eventually, they'll come around. Sometimes when you least expect it, compassionate detachment. It's not an easy one. All right. You have a question for us.
Yes, this one's from Squirrel. My question relates to our linear timeline belief. Let's say we as humans are in this current timeline at all. Let's say we as humans are in this current linear timeline at all, and we can, as at is all we can remember as we came onto the planet, which is mostly how it does feel. We came on Earth knowing we could change the future with our current lifetime and that our monad exists in the future. kind of like Back to the Future movies, only the opposite. Go back to the past and change the future. But if we're from a higher dimension in the future, why is it necessary to go back to a lower dimension? Why must we descend into 3D to ascend if it all is happening at once? Is it because all the lifetimes we experienced, such as Atlantis, Egypt, and the time Christ walked the planet, are still happening, and we came back to change each outcome? What activates the dimensional shift from 3D to the higher dimension? Is it a particular stellar alignment that we know will support the shift? I can't even find the words to describe what I'm asking. Sigh. And how does this affect our brain neurochemistry? We must have thought something would change within us and align within our physical being, or else we wouldn't have dropped onto density to make the correction for the future at this timing. If there even is time. I'm writing gibberish, I think. The gibberishly dense squirrel.
Oh, squirrel, we can always count on you for something interesting. All right. Why would you come back from the future?
Good question.
To assist Earth at a critical juncture. Right? Now, you understand the many worlds theory. We've got the Big Bang series on television. It talks about it all the time. An infinite number of versions of Earth, an infinite number of versions of you. Why not as the amazing beings that you are? And this question fits in alignment with all of you beginning to understand who you are, how powerful you truly are, how loving you are, that you are willing to come back in time to assist the planet's evolution. Now, many of you have heard Bashar speak. And Bashar often talks about Daryl, who is a past lifetime of Bashar, functioning on planet Earth. Of course, Daryl came back, or did he? As Bashar said, a lifetime on planet Earth was necessary in order to understand how to communicate with Earth. Many of you feel like you're wandering around and don't... Absolute convinced you're not from here anyway. Why would you do it, squirrel? Why would you not? There are an infinite number of outcomes for Earth. And the one that resonated the strongest is this one. The one that had the greatest potential for amazing change. This one. The one that had the potential to change the way, and listen carefully, that the entire cosmos, all right, would be riveted. Some curious. Some totally disinterested who thought it was absolutely impossible. The majority of them now paying attention. It was the ultimate challenge, with a huge commitment on all of your parts to assist at this pivotal time. A planet that did it in a way that's never been done before. To be part of that, to help create that. We can't imagine that any of you would walk away from that challenge and opportunity. And to be certain that a version of Earth went on with all of these amazing potentials into a golden age, into something that would have positive impact on the entire cosmos. Now you get into time, no time. Yes. But you have to get into multiple outcomes. You get back to the whole concept of infinite number of versions of you, infinite number of versions of Earth. And you can go beyond that to the fact that it's all a dream. But that's also loaded with paradox, which is why you felt like you were speaking gibberish, because at some level you understand that. To play the game, to walk through the struggles and limitations, was a small price to pay to be a part of this extraordinary experiment, if you want to call it that.
And does this affect our brain neurochemistry in such a
way? Of course it does. But it affects everybody's neurochemistry. You know, we've said it over and over again. Does anybody really know how this is going to look? Well, there's lots of conjecture. Brain neurochemistry has to change in order for you to be able to access more of your brain. Of course it does. And to resonate at a higher frequency and level, it's going to absolutely change.
We have one more question. Do you think we can fit it in?
Oh, we don't know what time it is, but you can try.
We have about five more minutes, maybe.
All right, go ahead.
Here's my thought for today, which I sent on April 18th, 2012. The subject reminds me of the Rolling Stones song, Sympathy for the Devil. Obviously not a human feeling or soul-searching dilemma or awareness. Why is it so obviously not a new human feeling or soul-searching dilemma or awareness? Why is it so difficult for humans to accept their darkness? Is it guilt-tripping religion, negative alien influence, or is it that a redundant question? Whatever the answer, I feel we embody both. So how do we deal with it as opposed to acting out on it? By the way, this is the thought I wrote. It's inspired by the song. Just as every cop is a criminal, all the sinners saints, by the Rolling Stones, we all have that side of us, you know, the one we keep hidden from others and perhaps even deny from ourselves. The parts of us we believe to be less desirable, the darker aspects of our personality. It is the side of us we judge as bad or wrong, but is it? So we repress these uneasy feelings. We all do it, but why? Most likely we don't like that side of us because of our upbringing and from what we learned from our family, peers, society, and religious beliefs. But what if by stuffing these feelings we might actually be denying the lessons we came into this lifetime to learn? What if these not-so-positive or worthy feelings are essential to who we are, a part of our totality? Bring it up, whatever it is. Don't keep denying, burying, or hiding from the real you that the real you came here to be. Your outside world will continue to reflect to you what lies beneath the surface. Find out what you came here to learn in this lifetime. Feel, deal with, and heal, whatever it may be. When you heal it for yourself, you may be, in fact, healing it for others. Have some compassion for yourself, some sympathy, some squirrel.
Oh, squirrel, that's beautiful. All right. We cannot argue any of that. What we will say is that along with what you perceive to be darkness, perceive to be flawed, those things that you're afraid to show the world, when you truly examine them, when you get intimate with them, you have an opportunity to discover more of you. Your sense that they are flawed, and you've touched on this in your beautiful missive, right? Colored by society, absolutely. Religion, totally. Parents, without a doubt. Peer groups, etc. But, you see, for those of you that are courageous enough to really work and understand that shadow work is a spiritual imperative, that's a hint and a clue that says what you discover can change your life for the better. Because there are always gifts and treasures that are in there as well, that got buried with all the things you thought were wrong with you. And as you begin to pull them out, the sense of love and compassion for self is born.
You have to say goodnight.
All right. Veronica, we know this is our last show together.
Yes, it is. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
All right. We want to say to you, dear one, that wherever your path leads, you are here to do amazing things. You're doing them already. We know that you're excited to spread your wings and continue to grow and explore. You're not one to be locked in or locked down. Honor that within yourself. There's so much for you to do. We love you and appreciate all the time that we've had with you.
Mm-hmm.
We send you continued love, success. We embrace you. We encourage you. To everyone, we would love the opportunity to work with you tonight if you decide to call us in. Again, if you listen to this in the archives, you're welcome to do it at whatever time. There really is no time, so there's no problem. To work with you as the maker of a map that will be talked about, appreciated for far longer than you can ever imagine. But from the other side of the veil, you'll look down and think, wow, look what we did. Wow, it was worth all the limitation, all the struggle. So, we'd like to work with you to help you discover any place that you are holding back, underestimating, not allowing in the more of you that can create the map that you desire, the one that will inspire. We love you, dear one, so very much until we speak with you again in this format. And to you, dear Veronica, our cosmic up to you. And Squirrel, thank you for the wonderful question. Namaste. Are we on or off? Oh, Lord, we're over time. All right. Good night, everybody. We love you. Good night, Veronica. I love you, dear.
Take care. Thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, it's been a joy, and we love you so much.
Love you,
too. Good night, everyone.
Take care. Good night. Good night, everyone. Many blessings.